Well, good morning and welcome to Victory Baptist Church. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning, and a little bit of a snowy week here. Not too bad, though, really, for this late in the year. And so glad that you can be here this morning. So glad the sun is shining. So glad that we can meet together to worship the Lord today. And let's join together now for a scripture reading. If you would take your Bible, we'll go to the book of Revelation and chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. We're getting back to our study here in Revelation, and these are definitely some heavy chapters, heavy passages, but God has a special blessing here for us to read and hear and keep the words of this prophecy. These are future things, things that will happen, and we're going to look at chapter 8. We'll stand together. We can read together in unison, beginning with verse 1, chapter 8 of Revelation, verse 1. We'll read down through verse number 6. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. We look forward to diving into this passage here in just a few minutes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love to us. We come with joy to adore thee and to lift our voices to glorify your name. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would work in this time together, and Lord, even as we look to the scripture, into these difficult times yet to come to this world, Lord, we are thankful for the promise of your return, that you will come for your own. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to give our attention to your word today and to take it to heart. Father, we pray that you would help our light to shine in this world, in this day. We certainly need your spirit to lead us and guide us, and we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated as we get back to our study here in Revelation after 2 weeks of talking about finding hope in a troubled world. We come to the midst of the tribulation period. God does give a special blessing to those who read and hear and keep the words of the prophecy of this book. You'll find that in the first few verses of chapter 1 of Revelation. And so, as we think about our journey, our study here, through the book of Revelation, as we are in the midst of this period known as the tribulation. It's actually a relatively short period. I'm going to go over here to our timeline just to bring you back up to speed with where we were there. On the timeline, we have the beginning of the world, when God created the world, and approximately 4,000 years, not 4 billion, not 4 trillion or, you know, millions and millions or none of that. No, actually the earth is really quite young, and the Bible tells us that, and science also indicates that as well. So 4,000 years from creation to the cross, and then approximately 2,000 years we've already expended in the church age. And so we don't know how long the church age is going to be, honestly. We do not know. But we do know that we are in the last days. So we are drawing, I believe, closer. Well, obviously, we are drawing closer because we're closer today than we were yesterday. And so we are indeed drawing closer to when the trumpet will sound, to when the Lord Jesus will return for his own. And so I want you to understand, as we look here at the 7 years of tribulation, if you'll notice it here, the 7 years of tribulation where the rapture takes place, I believe the Bible teaches the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And so we will be with God in heaven for those 7 years. But on the earth, we are seeing some of these horrific things taking place, which is, to a great extent, the judgment of God. Sometimes we underestimate the wickedness of the human heart. We underestimate that. We think that most people are good, and you know that most people have good intentions at heart. But the Bible actually tells us that the heart of man is desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. Not just a little wicked, desperately wicked. What an amazing thing that is when we comprehend the corruption of the human heart. And so God is very merciful, very patient with people. But he tells us that this is how things are going to transpire. That his purpose, his plan, which will be fulfilled in its time, he will come for his own. And on the earth, there will be this 7 year period, I believe literal 7 year period of time, where we're reading about these events. Much of the book of Revelation is focused on those 7 years. That is quite amazing, actually, especially seeing that, you know, we will not be here if we've trusted Christ, but God wants us to know about it. This is important. And so as we come to chapter 8, actually before we do that, I want to do a very quick review. So let's go to the next slide. We have just a short little recap here on the revelation of God. All right, and this obviously a lot of just pared down information, but remembering in chapters 2 and 3, we had the letters to the churches. In chapters 4, John was caught up into heaven, which I believe pictures the rapture of the church. John was indeed caught up, and he saw things in the future, which he writes about. He saw what's yet to come is in chapter 5, a mysterious scroll, mysterious book. No one was found worthy to open it but the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 6, we had the beginning of the tribulation. As those seals on that scroll were broken, we had the beginning of the tribulation. And then we have six seals opened from that scroll. In the first, in the chapter 6, we had six seals opened. And so we had some horrific things happening there, which we've talked about in previous studies. And then we come to chapter 7. We have the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. This chapter 7 really overlays this period where God says, well, here's some more information about what's going on. It's not just the disasters of the opening of the six seals, but it's these Jewish evangelists raised up. These are Jewish people who came to faith in Jesus as their Messiah. They are witnesses. Many people are saved under their ministries around the world. Many believers are martyred during this time. We find that in chapter 7. And then we come to chapter 8 where we are today, and it begins with a sober silence in heaven. A sober silence. I picture it, this is my imagination perhaps, but I picture it as a gasp. As the seventh seal is opened in chapter 8, there's a there is a holy gasp in heaven. Verse 1 of chapter 8. And when he had opened the seventh seal, that's the seal on the scroll. When he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Silence in heaven. This is awesome. This was brought silence as the appropriate response before these angels are to sound their trumpets. Okay? So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll continue here in our study. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, and Lord, help us as we dive in today to apply it to our lives. Help us to take these things to heart and home with us, as it were, in our I pray that you would help us to remember your mercy and your desire for people to know you as the true and living God, the way of salvation. Help us to glean your truth this morning. I look to you for your strength and your help. In Jesus' name, amen. So in the midst of the tribulation, this seventh seal on this scroll is broken. It's opened. And as we can look on what is written there, there is this silence, this gasp, as it were, in heaven for about half an hour time. Then in verse 2, we find, I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. All right, so we have seven angels given seven trumpets. And so the next detail now is not opening of seals, but rather in this seventh seal, we have the sounding of these trumpets. And under each trumpet, there is a detail that these angels sound out. Okay, and so that is how God laid this out. And so verse 3, it says, and another angel, in other words, a different one than the seven, another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense. Now this is in heaven. This is taking place in heaven. There is a true altar in heaven. There is a mercy seat in heaven. There is, we could go to Hebrews and look at some verses that tell us about that. That the earthly figures were actually figures of the true. And the Lord Jesus entered into the true Holy of Holies in heaven, where he made atonement for us with his own blood. But here we are, and in verse 3, this angel takes this golden censer, and it says there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Here I am just awe-inspired again at the remembrance of prayer before God. The remembrance of prayer. You know, we minimize prayer. We do, our humanity. We so easily marginalize prayer. You know, we far quicker resort to worry. We far quicker resort to our own wisdom to try to work through challenges than to simply call on the Lord in prayer. Prayer makes a difference. Prayer is heard by God Almighty. Prayer is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And we see prayer remembered here before God. The Bible says here in heaven, as John sees these things unfolding, he sees the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar remembered here before God. Which it says it before the throne. All right? And verse 4, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Let's notice in chapter 5 where prayer was remembered there. Chapter 5 and verse 8. Revelation 5 and verse number 8. It says, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. Now, saints are believers, those who have trusted Jesus as their Savior. We are saints. All right? And so the prayers of saints are remembered. Our prayers will be remembered. The prayers of God's people down through the ages will be remembered before God. That is remarkable. I wonder what some of those prayers may be. Well, the Lord himself taught us in the model prayer, he taught us to pray, deliver us from evil, right? Deliver us from evil. Well, I wonder how many times God's people have prayed something along that line, Lord, deliver us from evil. Maybe many in prayer have asked, like the psalmist did, why do the wicked prosper? Lord, why do the wicked prosper? Lord, when will you judge the vile person? But you know what? There are many prayers. Many prayers. You know, I mentioned already that prayer is so easily marginalized. Imagine if a farmer marginalized the little seeds. If a farmer marginalized the little seeds and he said, I'm just going to cultivate the field. I'm just going to spray the weeds. I'm just going to, you know, whatever. But I'm not going to plant those little seeds. Okay? If he marginalizes little seeds, he's not going to get a crop. Those little seeds, as small and as seemingly insignificant as they might be. I mean, imagine if you just, you know, grew up in the city and didn't have a clue what a seed was, okay? I'm talking inner city, you know. You didn't even know where milk came from, okay? And you're there, and you see these seeds, and you're like, well, what's this? I mean, you know, it's nothing to you. But they're powerful. They're powerful in God's design of this world. And prayer is God's design. And it can so easily, by us earth dwellers, you know, be marginalized. Because to look at it on the outside seems like, okay, I mean, is this just, you know, is this really meaningful? Well, oh, yes, it is. God hears the prayers of those who call on him in faith. It is remarkable. And they're remembered here before God. The prayers are remembered. I would like to go to Psalm 9. Psalm 9. Thinking about this topic a little bit. In Psalm 9, we'll begin with verse 7. Psalm 9, verse 7, the Bible says, but the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Hegeon, Selah. Hegeon is a word, it's a musical term that means a solemn sound. We need to think about this. This is something to think soberly about. Hegeon, Selah is also a musical term which provides emphasis or accent. And it is also a contemplative type of musical term. And so as the truth here is presented, as we see the two sides where God will judge the wicked, but God hears the prayer of the humble, where God's ears are open to those in need, to those who seek him honestly, but judgment will also come to those who are vile. And so we can see those, just a little bit of a sampling there. And that's what we have here in the opening of this seventh seal, with this sober silence in heaven, the prayers of God's people remembered before God, before these trumpeters sound these judgments. Now we come to verse 4. Verse 4. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. So in the middle of the tribulation period, with a lot of disaster having already happened, we had in chapter 6 the opening of six of the seals, which included the Antichrist coming on the scene, included blood and war, peace taken from the earth, economic collapse. It included a quarter of Earth's population being killed by violence, by starvation, by sickness, by wild animals. We had the martyrs seen there, those who'd believed on Jesus during the tribulation already martyred for their faith. We saw cosmic calamities, people fleeing from what is openly said here to be the wrath of the Lamb. End of last verse of chapter 6. We've had a lot of things happening, which I believe is more or less the first half of that seven-year period. So approximately the first half there. Now we come to this last seal being opened, the seventh seal, and we have these seven trumpeters, which four of them are going to sound in this chapter. And so the first trumpeter sounds, and the Bible says here in verse 7, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire. Hail and fire, mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. So, we see this destruction at the sounding of this first trumpet. We have hail and fire. Now, I was thinking about this. I'm thinking like the angel that had the coals from off of the altar, he flung them from heaven, and they went down on the earth. And then we see on the earth, as the trumpet sounds on this first angel, as the first angel sounds the trumpet, we see hail and fire mingled with blood. I think there's a connection there between what came off the altar in heaven. It's hailing fire. Balls of fire mingled with blood, the Bible says. That is certainly bizarre, but it is interesting. It is sobering. Here, what might be considered what was a blessing in heaven and what could be a blessing before God became a curse. And you know, that's the same thing with the blood of my Savior. That same blood that can cleanse the worst of sinner will also be the same judge who renders the just judgment on those who reject salvation. And so we see one third of trees burnt up, and it says all green grass burnt up. We come to the second trumpeter. This angel sounds, and in verse 8, the second angel sounded, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. It says here, a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. So here we have this great mountain, which the Bible says, this huge mass that's burning, is cast into the salt waters of the world, the sea. And we see a very, very specific, I don't know if you can say specific estimates, but we have one third. That's pretty specific. God gives us the detail there of how much of the sea becomes blood. Now, again, we see blood. I think of the plagues. One of the plagues, the third plague in Egypt, was when Moses, at God's command, I believe he stretched out his rod over the river and it became blood. and the fish died, and the river stank, and there was blood all through the land of Egypt. And that was one of the plagues. And here in the end times yet to come on planet Earth, God is going to do some similar things like that in some of these plagues that he's going to send. And so a third of the sea becomes blood, a third of the creatures in the sea die, and a third of the ships are destroyed. This is an enormous destruction. Then we find the third trumpet sounds here, and we find that in verse 10. The Bible says, "And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning, as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of water." So here we have fresh waters now being contaminated, all right, by what is described here as a great star. So here's a celestial body. Here's a huge meteor falling from heaven, burning. Again, it's burning. And it brings destruction upon one-third of the fresh water on planet Earth. Verse 11, "And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters become wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were bitter." People died. So this wasn't just bitter as in not tasting good. This was poisonous. People died because of this water. It was poisonous. One-third of the rivers and fountains are poisoned in this judgment in the midst of the tribulation period. So we have one more trumpeter to sound here in this chapter. And so verse 12, "And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars." And so this affects the celestial bodies of the moon, the stars, the sun itself. "And so a third part of them was darkened," it says here, "and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise." What an amazing thing. So we've had hail, fiery hail mingled with blood coming on the first trumpet. We've had an enormous disaster in the salt waters of the world. One-third of ships are destroyed. One-third of creatures in the sea die. One-third of the sea becomes blood. We have the fresh water contaminated and poisonous in the third trumpet, where people die from this, when this huge, great burning star falls out of heaven. And we have on the fourth trumpet, where the sun, the moon, and the stars are both, I think there's two things here. They are dimmed, first of all. I would like to note that. They are dimmed. The sun, moon, and stars do not shine as brightly. That's what it appears to me. It says that they are smitten in verse 12, and a third part of the moon is smitten, a third part of the stars. So we have a darkening of even the best of times on planet Earth. All right? We have a darkening of the daylight, a darkening of the moonlight, a darkening of the heavenly bodies. But there's also another aspect here, which I believe is less hours of sunlight, moonlight, etc. So we have just a very gloomy, you know, a dim day and shorter hours of daylight. So there's the two things there, not only the dimming, but the shortening. A lot more darkness. Very eerie. Very ominous. And the Bible tells us in verse 13 that the worst is still to come. The worst is still to come. "And I beheld and heard an angel fly through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, 'Woe! Woe! Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound.'" Three woes on these last three trumpets. And so four trumpets have sounded. We can see the disaster in the judgment that God brings to this earth. You know, I'm thankful that this earth is not our home. This earth is our temporary dwelling place. Our citizenship as believers is in heaven. But God tells us in great detail how he will bring judgment. What will happen in this period known as the tribulation? Daniel's 70th week prophecy, a week of years. And here, as this unfolds, as we are in the middle of it, in the midst of this terrible time, a time of God's judgment on earth, we have also seen in chapter 7 the witnesses for Jesus, and there will be witnesses yet to come. Besides the 144,000, there will be two witnesses that God raises up during this time as well. And so, in the opening of this last seal, we have these four trumpets that sound. There's a growing intensity. You can see that unfolding here. It's a growing intensity. What was economic collapse and what was other things, it has now become even more intense. And it's going to get worse, God tells us. So just a couple of closing thoughts and application. First of all, we must understand that God will judge the wicked. God will judge the wicked. Man is accountable to God. We cannot, come and say, well, God doesn't see. God doesn't care. In fact, if you go over to Psalm 10, we read a little bit from Psalm 9, but now let's look at Psalm 10. The wicked, in verse 4, Psalm 10, verse 4, it says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." Can you imagine a degraded state like that? God is not in all his thoughts. And then in verse 11, it says, "He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand, forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked condemn God?" Contemn means to have contempt, all right? To despise. "Wherefore doth the wicked despise God? He hath said in his heart, thou wilt not require it." In other words, this is the thinking of the wicked. He says, God doesn't care. Well, actually, as we read through Revelation, the very last book of the Bible, God reminds us that God does care. And man is accountable. And God will bring judgment in his time. And this is the judgment upon earth. Not the judgment of hell and the lake of fire, which is yet to come for those who know not Christ. And so, man is accountable. 2 Timothy 3 in verse 5. If you look over there to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and actually, verse 1 through 5, the Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days, perilous means troublesome and dangerous. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers," that's the idea of slander, "false accusers, incontinent, without any self-control, fierce," the idea here of being savage, "despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such we are instructed to turn away from." So perilous times will come in the last days. Dangerous times, troublesome times. And these are the characteristics of those times, of these times, which are ever nearer. We must remember, God's timetable is marching forward. we must serve him today. We must recognize he's called us to be the light in a dark world. He's called us to shine the love and light of the Lord Jesus. And secondly, in closing, I want you to remember that man is accountable, but secondly, God is accessible. God is accessible. God is good and God is merciful. Notice Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, the scripture says. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You see, God holds out his hands. God holds out for whosoever will to come, to be saved. That's why so many are accounted as being saved during the tribulation. Many people will trust Jesus. Many Jewish people trusting Jesus as their Messiah. Many believing on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. How is it with you? As we think about the details God lays out for us here of this time in the future, which could be not but a few years away, are we ready? Am I walking with God like I should? Am I really caring for souls, the souls of others, like I should? Lord, help us. Lord, help us to remember that prayer is remembered before God. It is, and it will be, remembered before God. Do we make much of prayer? We must. We should. Thank you so much for your attention through this time and the opening of the seventh seal.